gather to join. Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned. That's how I come
alive. That's how I change my world. I just want us to go straight to our anchor scriptures. And we are taking descending force, power, and ungodly presence, the part two, to wrap up with what we started last 3 weeks. So, first scripture I want to read is the book of 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16 to 18. Snap, you make it fast for me, so finish within time. 1 Samuel, the chapter 12, verse 16 and 18. Okay, now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is today not the wheat harvest? I will call to the Lord, and he will send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which you have done in the sight of the Lord, in asking a king for yourself. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord, and what? And Samuel. They greatly feared what? The Lord, and what? And Samuel. Okay, let's read the book of Acts chapter 8, verse 9 to 11. Our second reading. Second call scriptures, Acts chapter 8, verse 9 to 11. But there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone what? Great. Let's move on. Verse 10. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. You see what false power can do? A man practicing sorcery, but the people called it the great power of what? Of God. So it's very important we know how to discern false power. Let's read the verse 11. And they heeded him, because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. We are reading together our third anchor scriptures as it always be. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Let's go. Oh, please, it's scriptural, so mention it. I want to hear it. Let's go. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? Hallelujah. Last 3 weeks, I established that power, or the manifestation of power, is an expression of the anointing. And we know that when we talk of an anointing, the full definition of anointing is the manifestation of God's power and not his presence. So whenever power is manifested, we are looking at a concept of anointing. But in last years, we found out that when it comes to the act of power, although all power belongs to God, God is not the only person who is able to what? Manifest power. We found out that man has the legitimate right to manifest power because God gave him. And the gifts of God are without repentance. And we also found out about the devil's what? Power. Is that not so? So, and one thing we also saw was that when power is at work, the result cannot be a point of differentiating whether this is of God or this is not of what? Of God. So remember the story of Moses and the sorceress or the diviness of what? Pharaoh. We found out that Moses was able to, not only did they challenge Moses in turning their rod to snake, we found out that the first three miracles that Moses did, they also did it. Are you with me? Until it got to the next miracle, that the Bible said, and God therefore resisted them. And that was where the diviner said that, no, this man is operating by the ultimate power. But still, Pharaoh didn't heed to. So if we want to judge an act as the work of the power of God, then we will miss it, because the result or whatever happens, it could be possible that another power, another spirit, another authority had taken charge of that expression. Hallelujah. Are we on the same page here? Are you following me? So therefore, how do we now make sure that we are not victims of what such kind of thing. Then we find out that we need two things, which thought descending of spirit and then discernment. Then I made a clear definition between descending of spirit and discernment. Do you remember it? I said descending of spirit is not influenced by the external environment. So it is an act where your spirit is able to pick an information, a truth about a matter without any external influence. For instance, if somebody enters here and the person is able to know exactly what you do, who you are, what is around you without any information, that is descending of spirit. So when you go to a place and nobody said anything and they can pick that, no, at this very spot, somebody has poured libation. You are not there. Nobody said anything, but something just, you just read, like, you just pick that information and that ABCD has happened over here. That one is called descending of spirit. And we know that descending of spirit is the highest operations of what? The spiritual sort of sensitivity. Then we look at what? Discernment. Okay? So you find that descending of spirit is a gift. At a point when God, it's the highest expression of the spiritual maturity. But because God wants us to be sensitive to matters around us, He has given us by opportunity to operate in it as a gift. So you can desire it to pick up information without the need of external environment. Then we saw that discernment, it comes as a result of what? External environment. In the book of Hebrews, we found out that the Bible said those who are able to what? Exercise their maturity by descending. And that is the doctrine being taught. So as I'm speaking to you, whatever I'm able to help you to come to a concluded truth because of the information I've fed you is an act of what? Discernment. So I made it clear that discernment is subjected to the quality of information you have. So if the information you have is not good enough, that means that your discernment may be very weak. Are you with me? So you find out that teaching is very important. Right doctrine is very important. So if you want to discern, or you want to know that a power of operation here is of God or not, discerning of spirit and discernment are both needed. But the discernment must be heavily relied on the source of the information that is helping you to be able to discern. Hallelujah. Then I said that I am going to talk about something that many people ignore when it comes to this issue of false power. And today I want to talk about the adverse effect of legitimate power and ungodly presence. When we open up ourselves to false powers, when we sit under the ministration or listen to or give room to a false power, an ungodly presence to invade our lives, either by teaching, either by prophecy, either by miracle, any form that a false power can access your life and that you give right to it. You know, when you come to sit here right now and I am preaching or we are doing something, you identify with that, means that you subscribe to everything you do over here. There's one thing that Daddy Joe said about spiritual parenthood, a father and son relationship, that really scared me a lot. He said that when you come to somebody, let's say that I walk here, I said, okay, Pastor Bliss, I want to be your spiritual son. Do you know what you have done? He said that you have given your head to him with a sharp cutlass, that whenever he feels like, he can cut off your head. That is what it means. So when you enter a place and you submit to a place, what it means that you have given that place every full authority, that any aspect of your life is at their mercy. So what happens to you when you find yourself, okay, at a place where the oppressions of that power there, and I always tell you that every act that is done comes by power. What is the scientific, or let me say, the very basic definition of the word power? The ability to what? To do. Is that not so? So if somebody is able to do something for you, or do something in your life, or is doing something, it means that there is power behind it. Could it be that it is the power of man? You know the two kinds of power of man. Our natural power, which is given to us to have exercise over the natural environment around us. So remember last 3 weeks, I said that if the place you stay is weedy and you don't take care of it, angels should not come down to do it for you, because God gave you the natural power to take care of that place. And you spoke about the soulish power You remember that one? That which act as if it is the things of God, but it has the form, but that's not of God. And it runs on the emotional frequency. So if somebody is able to do something, okay, somebody prophesies to you right now, somebody teaches you, somebody ministers to you, at that instant, the question is, what power is at stake? And if that power is not the true power of God, is there any consequences? Is there any effects? Yes, there are effects. That is why you have to be very careful. Do you know why in the early church, the apostles were fighting? You see, if you read the epistles of the Bible, one of the key things you find is that the apostles or the writers were fighting. They fought a lot of false doctrines, false power, everything false, to the extent that we even have what we call the false brethren. The moment something false enters the system, there's the consequences for the people there. So today I'm going to give you at least three things that will open your eyes to know that when I become subjected or submitted myself to a false power, ungodly presence, I can become this. So don't let the result blind you. Look at what is happening to you in your life. It gives clear indication that this could not be the power of God. First thing. The first thing that happens to a person who is open to an illegal or illegitimate or false power and ungodly presence is that the spirit and the soul of the person is defiled through deception. Defilement and deception of the spirit and soul of a man. I'm going to explain it to you. You see, holiness is the nature of God. And whenever God takes over a place, the clear indication is that you see holiness at work. Said, be holy for you, your Lord, your God is what? Is holy. When a false power enters a place, what it does is that it targets the holiness, the purity of your system. So defilement is the first thing. I'm going to explain to you. When the source of administration is not of God, those who sit under it become spiritually contaminated, which has to do with wrong values and worldview. Every false power corrupts your values. It makes sure that your values, what you hold high esteem, has no reflection to the things of God. And it blesses how you your worldview. It means that you see, there's a worldview we live in. Though we are of the world, we do not belong to the world. There is a way we interpret things in this world. It's what we call the worldview. Let me give you a clear explanation of the worldview. The way Elder Martin would treat an issue of, let's say, car. When he buys car, let me say that he has money. The way and manner he will use the money will be determined by how he sees the world. First question, how does he see women in this world? Does he see them as a mode of satisfaction? You know, it's a worldview. So that I hold on to the view that, have you heard of those statements before? I'm of the view. It's a worldview. How does he see when a power authority is giving us or power? How does he see that power? Is it a way to oppress people? It's a worldview. There is a way scripture, the word of God, shapes you that you view the world in a different way. Do you remember Joseph saying that I cannot look at God and my master and do this thing to you? Do you know it was his worldview? How many of us today as young men who have a sugar mommy of that level and say that, oh, this one is not like you are going to the sugar. She is coming to you with all resources. Do you get it? Now, when you're under false power, what it does is that it makes sure that your worldview and your values, things you put first, are contaminated. Let's read the scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 17. And I'm going to show what the contamination targets. Do not be unequally yoked. You see, sometimes when we read this scripture, we underestimate it. But this scripture is meant to protect you from contamination. Watch. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, this yoke here is talking about those days oxen are used for farming. Okay? So, if we want to plow, okay, we must get the same kind of animals. If it's our horses, they are all horses, male horses, okay? Then we will use them to set up, put the yoke on them. You know, what they put on them to drag is called the yoke. Then they will be able to drag and then do the farming work. But there were some people who could combine a horse and a camel. Are you following? So the unequally yoke here is that there's a camel. They don't do that. It's wrong. It's abuse. So what the Bible is trying to say over here is that there shouldn't be a way that when you are found in a place, what you are doing, you and an unbeliever, because you are a horse, he's a camel, and both of you are together doing one thing, that is a problem. Do you get the point now? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So never ever in your life give way that they can combine you and an unbeliever to execute a task. It's not possible. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Continue. Verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? So you see two opposite things. Or what part has believer with an unbeliever? Let's read. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will what? Receive you. So if you touch something that is unclean, it cuts you off. Contamination. So this whole scripture is talking about how you cannot be contaminated. It can easily disqualify you. And the devil is interested in contaminating you. So how is that done? Spiritual contamination is targeted at the spiritual sensitivity of the believer. For the devil to contaminate you, what it targets is your sensitivity, your spiritual what? Sensitivity. Follow me. What is spiritual sensitivity? Spiritual sensitivity is the ability to accurately perceive, recognize, and respond to movements, intentions, and communications of the Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 5 verse 30. Your accurate perception or perceive, recognize and respond to movements, intentions, and communications of the Holy Spirit. Now, that scripture I read later. And Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power, can you just, you know, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. This is spiritual sensitivity. You see, the disciples were saying that out of 1,100 people, you know, it was a so busy place. Everybody was moving. Then Jesus said, somebody has held me. That is spiritual height of sensitivity. Now, the thing is that when the devil wants to make you get hold of you, false power will corrupt this thing. See, everybody can say everything is okay, but you said no, something is wrong. Have you been there before? Oh, Jesus. That, see, spiritual sensitivity is so serious that everything will look normal, but you alone say no, there's a problem. Because you see, the thing you are perceiving something that it is not in the natural realm here. So it disadvantages the devil. Because spiritual sensitivity gives you a far ahead information and knowledge. So the devil will make sure that he sends something to contaminate you to make it difficult for you to be sensitive. Let me give you further explanation on this sensitivity. It is the inner sharpness that allows a believer to pick up what God is doing, what God is saying, and what is happening in the spiritual atmosphere before it becomes obvious in the natural. In other words, the trained awareness of the spirit man. See, before something happens, a highly sensitive spiritual person can pick it up before it happens. Now, the Bible calls these people the sons of Issachar. The Bible said there were men of Israel who know what Israel ought to do. How did they know? They picked it ahead of time. See, hallelujah. Now, this sensitivity, when you're under false power, it is corrupted. Why and how is it possible? It's possible because when a power manifests without the clear indications of the fear of the Lord in that power is not of God. And what protects you when a power manifests that you don't lose your sensitivity is the fear of the Lord. I'm going to prove it to you. Every manifestation, do you know why? The seven spirits of God, we have the fear of the Lord. Have you read it? The spirit of the fear of the Lord. The job of the spirit of the fear of the Lord is to make sure that at every manifestation of power, okay, if it's of God, that fear guides your spiritual sensitivity not to lose focus on God and be sensitive to Him and put yourself on the act. Follow me. Now, the evidence of the presence of the Lord at a place is in the reverence, the fear of Him. You see, when God comes down, we said that He comes in His power and His might, right? The evidence that it is God is that you see the reverence, the fear of the Lord. And I've already spoken about the fear of the Lord. Let's read this scripture quick. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptable with what? Reverence and what? Godly fear. So at any given instance, when God manifests, the key indicator over there is the fear of God over there. Reverence for God. When you go to a place and whatever they do, you cannot trace reverence for God over there, there's a problem. Now, you remember our first reading that we did in the book of 1 Samuel. You see, Samuel told them that because of who they are, he's going to cause a miracle, a manifestation of power. Now, if you read the verse, the last verse that we read, the 18, the Bible says, when the miracle happened, the people feared both Samuel and what? And the Lord. You know that now, when a miracle, power is manifested, reverence or fear is more for the man without God. Watch out. Watch out. Now, let's move on. Acts chapter 2 verse 4 to 3. There can never be manifestation of power without his the fear of God. The reverence for him. Acts chapter. Then fear came upon every soul. And many wonders. Can you follow now? So under the fear, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Okay. What happens? Many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So you see, the fear, the job of the fear of the Lord is to protect. So, and as I've already spoken about the fear of the Lord, the reverence for God, it protects you to make sure that whatever happens, spectacular or not, at the end of the day, that sight of the value of God, that character of God is in you. The fear of the Lord is the character of God that makes you revere. So there cannot be a manifestation of God's power that do not make you eschew sin. Do you know that some people saw certain miracles and they gave their life to Christ? And do you know there are certain manifestations of God's power that has caused people to live holy? When we see manifestation of God's power now, does it prompt us to bow and say that God is God? Or we clap for the man of God? Are you following where I'm leading you to? Are you seeing the clarity what I'm trying to talk about here? Also, when we go for programs and a prophet calls somebody and begin to minister to the person, at the end of the day, the people that when they leave, does it leave any fear? Like something that we want to draw closer to God and stay away, like reverence for God. And do you know something? When your spiritual sensitivity is killed, you take it to everywhere. That's why prophet of God, now when we go for programs and you are ministering to people, they are even chewing gum looking at you. Because they've killed their sensitivity. They have sat under some corrupt system and they are so corrupted that they don't even know whether it is God talking to them or. So it's so difficult to minister to people now because the sensitivities are so, they are so contaminated and corrupted. I pray for you. See, you have to be serious Do you know that sometimes a mere conversation with a friend can be God speaking to you? It will take a spiritual sensitivity to know that this is God. But when you live under false power for long, and you are subjected to false power ministration, that sensitivity will get corrupted. It will get corrupted. So your orientation would, like, to pick up that, no, God is speaking to me, is gone. See, the reason is, the Spirit of the Lord guides our spiritual sensitivity from getting down and finally getting corrupted, which is to overlook the place of kingdom values or replace it with manifestation of power. Now, let's read a very important scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Now, when the fear of God is at work and the power of God manifests, what happens is that we look more to the values of God. You see, when I said that the corruption of your sensitivity or your spirit, the defilement of your spirit has to do with your values and your worldview. When power manifests, it doesn't make you to overlook the place of value. Recently, you know, now most of the local TV stations we have, they run a lot of funny programs. Then there was this man of God. My wife was sharing this with me, that my mom was watching it and she went to chance on it and she was asking me a question, that do we separate a man of God from what he does? And I said, what from God? I said the man of God said the father died and then the church was given to him to pastor. And that can help me the story. He was with a particular woman. He was not married to the woman, but they were sleeping together. And what happened? You forgotten the story, eh? No, he brought it to the till that they come here. He said that the woman was saying that he was doing something wrong. You see that? So this is where false power and ungodly presence work. I'm giving a typical picture. Are you following now? So the fear of the Lord, what it does is that it protects you from this. Because the fear of the Lord will tell that any manifestation of power might come along with God's value. You see, the Lord is a Lord of hosts. He counts with everything of him. There is no way the true power of God, because the Bible says, he that shall purge. Is that what the Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy. If you purge, you'll be used by the master. So if a vessel is not purged, and that vessel is doing something that is in the likeness of God, obviously it's not God. So this man is saying that even though he is not married to the woman he's with and he's sleeping with her, the church members should not look at that. They should overlook it and rather listen to what he's doing in terms of the manifestation of power. When you stay under that atmosphere, it's just a matter of time. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. That is what the fear of the Lord does to you. Hence, the proof of false power is when our spiritual sensitivity gets distorted, dull, and your discernment finally get corrupted. So when something happens, you can't even know, is it God? Do you know? I don't know. Maybe if some of you have ever been through that, me, I don't know. But do you know that when you sit under those ministrations and you meet a genuine man of God, you begin to, prophet, maybe if I am not saying it well, but I've met those kind of people. When you begin to tell them that they don't even know whether it is God speaking to them, they can't differentiate, because their system has been corrupted. That is the side effect. Do you know how many people have missed their opportune time because their sensitivity was corrupted? Now let me give you a typical life of people whose sensitivity are corrupted. Number one. But let me say this. The defilement of your spirit and soul is that your spiritual sensitivity is corrupted and your discernment becomes dull to the extent that you begin to tolerate even or celebrate what God condemns. Do you know how many people defend men of God who publicly comes out living their life of fornication and adultery? Have you seen church members protecting them? Hello? Oh, you have not seen some before. when you are corrupted, when your spiritual your spirit and soul is corrupted and defiled by false spirit, that's what they do. Very soon, what God condemns, you celebrate, you tolerate. That is where you can walk to a man you know very well that he's not living a good life publicly and still want him to lay hands on you. Prophesy to you. Do you know what? Because you are living. That's why I said, now the kind of Christians we have more, their souls are more corrupted and their spirits are so dull that even unbelievers are more descending than them. What happens to you, such a person, is that the devil have access to your life and manipulate you. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you get it? So that's the first adverse effect. See, protect yourself. When you find yourself at a place where you are struggling, you have to, you see, if you investigate and you see that, okay, it's not the life I'm living. Maybe your life you are living is getting things blurred for you. You are defiling yourself. Check what is and who you are listening to, who you have submitted to. Check it well. Check it well. Discernment rule number one. If it is not you, by the way of living and everything, that check the place you have submitted to. Check it. That could be the reason. So now when you are those kind of people who do blind loyalty, you know very well. See, sometimes I'm so surprised that they still walk there. Now, who compare them on her? What are you looking for? And you know your pastor has not married this woman. They are husband and wife. And she go to that church and he lays hands on you, speak to you, minister to you. And you say, oh, we are overlooking. You overlook whatever he's doing. You are interested. You are not serious. You are corrupted. Yeah, you are corrupted. And it's so huge. Yes. So the believers walk. Watch. One of the things you see about people, that their work become performance driven rather than relationship driven. The value, see, one value manifestation of a purity. These are people who are more interested in Odifo share than what that says the Lord. Not like they are more interested in what is written is not their issue. That says the Lord is what they want. Do you know that Christians who don't care about what you do, as long as they can see power manifested and you call yourself a pastor, they're okay with it? Such Christians have their soul and spirit defiled and deceived. And it started with a false power. If your whole Christian life is performance driven, not relationship driven, you are suffering from false power, corruption. You need help. If you are so messy, if all that you want is to see manifest, there are people who come and see that. What is God saying? That's one of the dangerous things you do. To force a prophet to prophesy to you at instance. They become no natural. Oh, you hear things. Let's be careful. So when you see those things, you know, that person. And you check many Christians we have right now. They really don't care about relationship. That's why now Bible studies is a whole issue for them. Praying, like coming and stay under teaching. No. It's a problem. You find it very difficult to listen to a message. You are becoming performance oriented. Check something wrong. If that is what you are becoming, it's either you are corrupt, you are the one doing it, or where you belong. Or where you belong, it's not where you attend church. Do you know some people attend church somewhere, but they belong somewhere? I know that. You see, I know where you belong, but what you post, who you post, who you listen to, that's where you belong. Yeah, there's association. But where your heart is, we all know. Okay, I'm doing the second one, then we close. The other two, we'll read another time. I want to stick to. So the first thing that happens to a person for being under false power is that your soul and your spirit, guess what? Corrupted. You are deceived. And that one is where your spiritual sensitivity targets your spiritual sensitivity. The question is, how sensitive are you here? Be watchful. Be watchful. Second thing, transfer of materials from another spirit. Now, every spiritual atmosphere or gathering, one thing you must know, listen to me very well, which is very important, give me Romans chapter 1 verse 11, is that at every gathering where spiritual atmosphere are invoked, one thing that is sure is that there will be a transfer. Now, when you go to a fetish priest, let me give you let me expose one of their secrets, okay? Because I know, I'm told. But they do what they do. If you come there with headache, they don't cure you of the headache because they don't have the power to cure you. But they have what they know. You see, spiritual atmosphere allows for transfer. So what they can do is that they can take away the headache and then replace it with another thing. That is why the first time you go to shrine, you go to shrine till the day you die. The first time you connect to a malam for something, do you know that you will be dead? Don't you watch even African movies? The African movies even give you a clear idea of what goes on. Now, the person went there for a child. Now, the child is born, the child is sick. They have to go there. Do you understand? Then after that, something. So there's always a problem that will bring you back there. Do you know what? Do you know why? Spiritual transfer. A spiritual atmosphere gives room for legitimate transfer. So when we come, you see what the Bible says, when we come to the presence, nobody lives the same. Do you know why they say so? It's because there is always a transfer in the atmosphere. God, when we come to God, when we gather as Christians, God takes away our weaknesses, takes away anything that fights us, and then He gives us His what? His own. For I long to see you. Listen to what Paul said. That what I may impart to you somewhat spiritual gifts so that you may be what? Established. When you sit under false power, know that at that instant, there is always transfer. Something of the devil will surely come to you. Yeah. Something of the devil will surely come to you. So if you look at the life of people who are open to this kind of ministry, there's always one problem or the other. See, you don't see them free. But the Bible says, wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. They are never liberated. There is one thing on another. You sit there and let people use psyche and all those things to minister to you. You find out that you are, even though you have received, you are bound. Have you seen a Sakawa boy free? You don't know, eh? Go and ask them. What is in the freedom of you cannot spend your... Do you know they have rules of spending the money? You don't know. Oh, you don't know. Sam don't bath. Sam must be sleeping with mad women. Sam must sleep with dead bodies. Sam must bath with dead bodies. Do you know the things they do? Most of these popular celebrities that you have seen, that you are following them, do you know what they go through? Don't be deceived by social media. They are not free. Some are must smoke before they can perform. It's not because they like it too. I heard recently one of them just came from here. See, there's always transfer in the spiritual atmosphere. Now, you see that when you sit under false power, and then false power is ministering to you, what it does is that it transfers, we exchange of goods and services. There are people who certain hands was laid on them and they have not recovered. That's why I said some of these things, when you begin to notice them, quickly resolving spiritual conflicts. And this is what we call discernment. So some evidence of victims of another spirit are those who manifest traits and attitudes such as pride, manipulation, sensuality, deception, rebellion. John chapter 8 verse 44. See, when there's when you sit under false power and ungodly presence for long, there are certain character traits we will see. Okay. There's a church now that if you talk about their pastor, they'll come and beat you. They attack other men of God. They'll deal with you. You dare not. Because that is who the person is. Now, there has been impartation and transfer of that spirit, that spirit. Do you know that there is some kind of character trait you see about TMI elders and pastors and leaders, which is the way we relate to people? Do you know where it's coming from? It's flowing from that detail. That compassion, love, meekness. We are, you see, the way that the joy is easily approachable. There is no pastor or any elder in this ministry that I cannot approach. Is there any difficulty in getting somebody's number? You go and try that in another ministry. It is called impartation. So when you sit under false power, you see that atmosphere. For you are out of your heart, father, the devil. Now, can we read that? He said, you have what? Your father and the desires of your father you want to what? To do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. See, certain character traits that you show gives indication of what? When you sit under a man, you see, when you sit under the true spirit of God, God will work on you to the point that you, see, that you will see the fruit of the spirit in you. And you see, when I'm talking about false power, don't be thinking of the devilish power alone. I said that now the church is more of the soulish power than devilish power. Soulish power. Let me say the last one. There are five. This one is very important. Spiritual dependency and spiritual casualty. The third thing. One of the key and most sure side effect of false power. Spiritual dependency. And this brings me to Caesar's testimony. My pastor is the living word. Have you ever heard of that testimony before? You've not heard it. I think it was at Pilma that you were having the Bible, so you mentioned that thing, right? It's Pilma. That he had a friend who he was asking her quiet time. He said, they are church, they don't do quiet time because their pastor is the living word. So what pastor says is false power, ungodly presence, promote spiritual dependency on man, and you become a... Let's go there. Acts chapter 8 verse 9 to 11. Let's go to that scripture. See, false power manipulates people to create unhealthy dependency on personalities than Christ. I remember that he gave a test, not a test, a shared story of a man who, even if he wants to sleep with a wife, he must take permission from the pastor. Roger, do you remember that story? He has no right to sleep with a wife without the pastor giving permission. That is the kind of place that you go that way. He said, when you leave, I'll kill you. Have you heard of that one before? Yes. When you leave, I'll kill you. You don't leave this church. That is not God. That is cult. God is not a cult, pastor. A church that you cannot freely leave. It's a cult. Let's read. And there was a certain man, Simon, who practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people. Now go to the verse 11, right? That's where the key point is. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorcery for a long time. They heeded him. When you see that at a particular place, or you as a person, the one who is your father or wherever you are, the ministry you are, if the pastor does not do something, you cannot do it. I beg. That power operating there, we have to investigate it. So if you can't call me, you can't pray. Do you get the dependence I'm talking about? Some of the dependence is so bad. This is so bad. False power, that's what they do. The devil wants you to rely on him, and so that is man. And that one, the soulish power, this is one of the things he does. Soulish power. Dependence manipulates you. So you have been manipulated to a point that if you don't talk to that person, you can't do anything. If you don't, that person is not, you are finished. You see, I always tell people that at a point, I'll let you to be on your own. Some of you will come here about an issue. Do I pray for you? No. I just tell you what to do. Go and do it yourself. If you don't get the result, repeat it until you what? It works. When it works for you, you will not call me on that situation again because you have the skill set for it. Are we on the same page here? Good. So, what happens is that you become a spiritual casualty. What happens is that because you are solely depending on the person, the movement of the person is your movement. What the person does, and whatever the person suffer, you suffer. Let me give you a very sad story in the Bible. In the book of 1 Samuel, the chapter 30, it talks about the account of Saul and how he died in battle. Do you remember that story? Do you know that the Bible said that day there was a great slaughter of Israel? The question is, the rest of the army that followed Saul to the battle, did they also consult the sorcery that Saul wanted to consult? Do you know that whatever your pastor has sent his head, whatever he's doing, when the day that judgment will come on him, you will also be there. You will be the casualty. Do you know what we call collateral damage? Have you heard of collateral damage before? Eh? Okay. There are some churches, because of where the pastor has gone to, every year there is a number of church members that must be used to appease. Saw it, but the army that followed him. When you are with somebody who is operating force power and he create that dependency so much that you are solely depending on him, whatever judgment that comes on him, you are not exempted. Any unhealthy relationship that makes you so vulnerable that you can't do anything without a particular man, that is a false power. So you see that the victims follow personalities. So now you see, now if you look at our generation, and this I'm talking about, it's so serious. I'm telling you, see, many places that people go, God is not there. Many places that we go for help, God is not there. We are personality chasers, this generation, because of the false power that most of us have been exposed to. Hallelujah. So, rather than Christ, we chase and follow personalities, and our faith depends on performance, mostly spectacular ones, rather than the word of God. So, now, one thing that false power will raise you to become is that for you to believe that this is of God, something spectacular must happen, not the word of God. So now the churches we want to go, the pastor we think is anointed, the pastor that we believe God is with is the ones who are doing the spectacular. So for instance, if I stand here and I cannot describe the color of the pants you are wearing, I'm not anointed. And that is what we are looking for now. Now, prophetic, I don't know. Now, prophetic AI has now gone to the extent that also Chelsea near Snebo, who are all the Bimaya and our prophets. I'm serious. Why are you laughing? Do you know it has gotten to that point? Now that, yes, that is how people see it now. So the pastor will now come and then predict election. That makes him anointed. I'm not saying that a prophet cannot do that too. But now you see that some people's now relevance and who they are now is because they are able to give certain national predictions, and now people are so rallied around that kind of system. So as we sit here, we are not major prophets because we have never predicted an election to come. I've not mentioned your bank, your Visa card number, right? So I'm not anointed. But the one who does that is what you think is anointed. And when you begin to go there, you find out that now anything that you do, you are so dependent on that person. There is no God aspect. They don't lead you to the word of God. Sometimes I wonder what people go through for other places. How can a man of God
a whole year, okay, will not be able to even establish one doctrine line of teaching. Or in the name that I'm a prophet. Where from that lie? You see that those who follow these people, when you put them on the word of God, that they should say something or they should give some, they begin to fumble and then they become emotional. Then they'll attack you. Everything is prophecy. Everything is prophecy. Everything is miracle. 40 days fasting and miracles. Everything! How many have I given you? How many? 3. Write this one down. Oppression and spiritual legal battles. James chapter 3 verse 15 to 16. You can go and read it. Sometimes when the source is wrong, what it does is that it breeds spiritual oppression, confusion, fear, and tough spiritual legal battles. So you see, the lives of the people are rooted in anxiety, restlessness, and moral instability. You see, those are the churches that you go every day, somebody will die. And come Senate Ban, every day something will happen. There's no way. So every day you have to buy a friend said, also help me. They have various kinds of products. Binding witches. Binding witches product. Oh, thank you. Confusion, oppression. That is false power. You see it at work. Everything must, there's something to sell. You are buying this oil, you are buying this product, you are because that is how it operates. False power makes you restless. There's no rest for you. So every day, see, all services from January to December, we are binding, killing. Why? Is it only you that have witches in your family? Which we have witches. He gives his beloved rest. So when you become restless, you see, they're always restless. 40 days fasting prayers. We are going to kill witches. When are we going to fast to know God? False power. False power. That is where it will push you. And you need discernment. So when you find yourself in a place where you are restless every day, the things you are doing will create anxiety, fear. Every time. This. First person. Sorry. Who say they are dark case you trust? Prophet, I'm from serious. You know, hey, Abraham, here. Share that would double me and send us out. But Jesus, share. I don't know from Caesar. No. Caesar, who's off Kaswa? Kaswa. Kaswa Fanko, yes. I know Ben, who's an old chica black bee, a Highlander. Last number, you say, who said number 16 woman? That would be Zaza. That is all Sunday to Sunday. Restlessness, fear. Why? So they'll open you to all kinds of spiritual battles. See, it's that you see people and you ask yourself, oh, why? Rest, my brother, rest. Rest. False power, oppression. You're always oppressed. Restless. When you take one step, you see these people. You see that always they are so. Hey Lord Jesus, they have the things they wear on their hand because of to repel spirit. All kinds of things they do because the false power.
I pray for you.
See, God will give you discernment and discerning of spirit. I always receive stories of people. I met a man. See, one of the way they introduce themselves is so funny. They will come to you. They will tell you what they saw, but they will never give you a solution. The only solution is frame me. Jimmy number will not frame me. Frame me. Hey, oh, Abrante, me will be found this year. We also ban our bell warren or a tinting cocobi. We also do skate journey. Frame me. Jimmy number not frame me. My mom can't frame me. Oh, Freya, I'm going to miss it. For 10,000 ram, me ya can't share 10,000. Hey, do you have a farmer? Who the baby? 10,000. We won't cry. See, when God reveals, He reveals to redeem. That is the truth. And the redemption is in the directions through scriptures to deal with the matter. If we cannot get the redemption, we have to. So you see that the people are under oppression, spiritual oppression, and legal battles. Shall we close our eyes and pray? Say, Lord, help us. You see, the most fearful thing about false spirit is the defilement of your spirit, the corruption of your sensitivity. I want to pray that, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. That we will not subject ourselves. Oh, we will descend false powers. We will descend them. We will descend them. We will descend them. We will descend them. False powers. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We give you all the praise. We thank you. One prayer, this last prayer, that any act or activity that we are open to that has connected us to any false or ungodly power, may the blood of Jesus save us from it. May we be broken away from any transaction, any transfer, any undue influence. Let us be broken out from it in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, lift up your voice and pray. Oh, Father, thank you. We give you all the praise.
Just breathe the name upon me. So glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Oh.